when it comes down to salvation, when it comes down to God, there is a spiritual war that goes on. Not only does the dark side sin things, Ephesians 6, where the arrows that come in that seek to drive individuals away from God, block their access to God, and work against the word and the will of God. What few have understood in the area of spiritual warfare is that the dark side will also come to take away the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. It is the actual word of God. There is nothing higher than that. There is no word higher. There is no word stronger. You can check it out in the book of Thessalonians. When Paul writes to them that they welcomed the gospel, they welcomed the word. Well, not as the word of men, but as the word of God, as it actually is. And it's at work in those who believe. Now, we've gone over this week this issue of the power of the word of God, the authority of the word of God, we can talk about the infallibility, the inspiration, the supernatural. I mean, holding the Bible in your hand, you're holding a supernatural book. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on a Friday night, the 4th of February, 2011. Now, on this Friday night, we are going to jump into the last part of the theme this week. We started out with a Roman Catholic exorcism and then dealing with the issues of the infiltration of the Catholic Church. Now, that's not to say that other churches and local churches cannot be infiltrated. It all goes back to the spiritual battle, the spiritual war that has been going on since the fall of the human race. In the beginning, the fallen cherub engages humanity. He attacks the word of God. He attacks the character of God and seeks to create doubt and steal and pull away the word of God and offer a replacement. Well, it brought death. It brought separation. What the fallen cherub promised in an evolutionary development to godhood, it never occurred. He couldn't produce it, and it was a lie, and we have paid the price, the wages of sin. Well, it is death. Now, there is someone that has come to conquer the issue of death. Now, we know this. We know this by the cross, by what Jesus did, the death of death and the death of Christ. And we're going to take a look today and look at the two sides to bring clarity to anyone who is seeking a relationship with God. Anybody who wants to know that you know that you know. Anybody that wants to be loved by and have the very life and presence of God inside them. The reason this is so vital in this day is that prophesied by the Spirit of God, in the end of days would come massive alternative spiritual presence, dark spirits. Not only would they send their arrows, the spiritual warfare, against believers and into the world, and clearly to deceive the world. You check it out, Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But also, and what I think has been neglected, the dark side's mode of operation, methodology, is to steal the word of God. You can read about this in the parable of the sower in the Gospels. The word of God is sown out there and laid out, lands there on the ground and the rocks. And Jesus said the birds of the air, now in the parable, it's the birds of the air, you know, they understand agriculture. The birds come. I see it happen around here when I throw out seed. The birds come and they're eating up the seed and taking it away. And it can't then be there to grow, to sprout, and to bring forth the grass. A tremendous picture of what really occurs in the spiritual realm. When the dark side comes to take away the word of God. Now listen, some of you listening, some Roman Catholics, some priests, and all around the world, there are those that quest, those that seek, and even those who are nominal Catholics. Maybe you become a psychic or a new ager or into something else, but you still linger and connect yourself to Catholicism, though you're angry, though you've never found God. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why. Outside the debates, very clear in the Word of God, Jesus Christ explains the warfare. There is a dark side, there is a presence, there are entities. Well, they come, and whether by direct creation of doubt, the goal of replacing what it was planted in you, the goal is to take away the Word of God. Let me tell you why. The Word of God is what it says it is, the Word of God. We have gone over this week out of the book of Hebrews chapter 4 that it is the living and active. Those two words depict the incredible supernatural power, presence that is actually in the Logos, the writings, actually in the Scripture itself. Now, this is vital because there is nothing like it. Now, there's counterfeit. There are finite spirits that by the thousands and thousands have moved upon individuals that have believed them and have guided them to write books also. Helena Blavatsky's one, and Alice Bailey's another, and the author of Course in Miracles, and on and on and on we can go, where they know they have been guided supernaturally, but by finite, fallen, dark spirits. And what the dark spirits, the fallen spirits say, is absolutely contrary to what the Spirit of God has said. There's a massive spiritual clash. The Spirit of God has given His Word, used 40 different writers over 1,600 years, three continents, three languages. On a human scale, it is off the charts in comparison to any other ancient writings. The best preserved in oral and written traditions, overwhelming, massive by the thousands of manuscript, historical, archaeological, that all attest to, even on the human side, the best manuscript evidence in world history. On the supernatural side, not one iota of it was jotted down, but by the moving, the carrying along, and the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Let me just say this. You can read it in Timothy, where all Scripture, this is the plenary. Let me tell you a great book to get by Benjamin Warfield about the authority of the Word of God, of Scripture. Or a great, even, listen, a very simple book to read when it comes to the authority and the inspiration of Scripture, René Pachet, an older French scholar. If you can get a hold of that, the authority and inspiration of Scripture, and you will have one of the great tools to explain the depth of the writing and of what the Scripture says by itself. What the Spirit of God... Now listen, using Amos, using David, using Isaiah, using any other Old Testament writer, any New Testament writer, number one, every one of them knew they were in relationship to God, knew the work of the Spirit of God, knew that they were being led by and writing down the Word of God. Now, they not only knew that, they never claimed it was their own writings. It came out of their own head, their own thoughts, their own speculation. By inception, the Spirit of God bringing and causing, using redeemed personality without overriding them, without trance, without bypassing their particular personality, knowledge, use of Hebrew, of Koine Greek. It is absolutely incredible when you look at the story of inspiration. Actually, the Greek word used in Timothy when it says all Scripture is well, inspired by God. The greater translation of this now is God-breathed, breathed out by God. If you're outside in the cold, in the wintertime, you step outside and you breathe out and you see what your warm breath brings about. You can literally see your air going out and you can see the vapor. This is the picture. It is the breathing out of God, the breathing out on selected riders and the breathing in and through them to where the end product, now check it out, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the spiritual truth embedded in the heart and mind of the believer, the writer, then by the Spirit of God, even the words chosen. I'm going to just simply tell you this. Pick up your Bible today and you hold the most supernatural book in human history. Pick up your Bible today, and if you open it, wherever you open it, it is alive, it is active, God is in it, with it, on it. It is, according to Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit. If we go to the book of Hebrews, it is the language. Even the writer that is being led to write the book of Hebrews, which is the Word of God, when quoting the Old Testament into the New, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, and the Holy Spirit says, any verse you quote, it can be said, the Holy Spirit says. What you have in front of you is the living Word of God. Now, the prophets knew it, the apostles knew it, Jesus knew it. Jesus knew that massive scripture was spoken in advance concerning his coming and all that he would be and do, that he would speak scripture, that he would quote scripture, that he would... Now listen, in Matthew 4, he engages the devil. The devil, always misquoting the scripture, knows it very well. The dark side does know it. That's why New Agers and occultists, led by dark spirits, can use scripture but never quote it right, never quote it in context, never quote it in its original meaning and purpose, and always twisting it. Whereas, listen, as you're looking at the scripture and as you open it up and allow it to speak into you, there is a presence, there is a power inherent in the word. It is so inherent in the word that you can't be born again without it. You can't be saved without it. You can read in the book of Peter how we are born again by the living, enduring word of God. You can read in the Gospel of John that the purpose of the Gospel of John's writing is that individuals would believe and that by believing have the gift of eternal life. You can read in the book of Timothy where the scripture known by Timothy from his mother and grandmother will make you wise unto salvation. Nothing else will. It'll also demonstrate there that it's all God-breathed and that it's useful for the believer. If you're not a believer, if you're just religious, if you just have some kind of outward connection in a religious way, the scriptures, you might not have a desire. You might have an aversion. You might not have understanding because deep within you is the sin code, the nature, the fallen nature. Romans 8, hostile to God, doesn't want to submit. 1 Corinthians 2, the man or the woman without the Spirit of God dwelling in you cannot understand. If you're listening right now and you're someone questing, maybe a Luciferian, maybe a Satanist, maybe someone that says, you know what, I was raised in the Episcopal Church or the Roman Catholic Church and I don't know God. I've come to the conclusion that I have religion, but I don't know God. And that's because of the issue of the clarity of the Word of God that is meant to lead you to salvation. Not only at times being replaced by the traditions of men, but Satan's actual spiritual war to steal the Word of God so that you cannot believe and be saved. I want you to hear it clearly. In the parable of the sower, Jesus giving the meaning behind the birds of the air coming, taking the seed and going off with it. He says that is Satan. That is the dark side. Coming to pluck out of a human being the word of God so that they cannot be saved. By implication, the dark side knows that the word of God is the word of faith, and by it we get saved. By it is the word of faith. You cannot call on whom you've not heard. And if you've not heard how to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how to receive him simply by faith and reception, that you might be born again of the Spirit of God, that Christ might come in. If you have not heard that, and instead been given a diet of religious tradition, a diet of religious ceremony, a spiritual mysticism that has never connected you to God directly, then today, in the providence of God, by the Spirit of God who brings the Word of God, could be the day that you get saved, that God comes into your life, that Christ literally comes in, and the joy of the Lord, the presence of God, consumes you from the inside out. You know you're forgiven. You know you got him inside of you. You know that you have the Spirit of God. You know you have a new joy. You know you have eternal life implanted in you. Oh, it's possible to know that you know that you know. And that's what this Friday night, February the 4th, 2011, session in the context of this week is all about. Yes, I am praying for, and I am engaging nominal Catholics, active Catholics, priests and teachers and Catholic theologians. I'm saying that it's very clear out of the words of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, out of the words of the mouth and on the writing, the scripture from the apostles and the prophets, that the word of God holds the ultimate, final, and incredibly supernatural superior authority over all the statements of men, over all the books written by men, over all. And actually, it's the Word of God that can give you clarity of what is tradition of men, what is religious ceremony, and what is the simple and pure Word of God. Well, let me welcome all of those of you listening all around the world by internet radio and by satellite, and then by the archives all over the world. Now, we've prayed for you all over the world today. By countries and cities and places where downloads have been going. And may God bring grace and mercy, and I would pray in the name of the living Christ for your salvation today, for your coming to Christ today, for your healing and deliverance today in the name of Jesus. Father, stretch out your hand to save and to heal and to deliver, and even to perform miraculous signs and wonders, extraordinary miracles. Strike even with the Spirit of God in revival in the hearts of believers. Right now, destroy the work of the enemy. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God came, destroy the work of the enemy. And I ask, Father, that you do this in Jesus' name as everyone listens live and as everyone listens later in the archives. As dear friends have made some of these into YouTube videos and other ways of communication. May the words of God that are spoken be crystal clear into the hearts and minds of listeners. For those new, this is Russ Dizdar. The website, shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net on the web. On that website, there are hundreds of downloads. On that website, if you look at it today, you'll see where it says, listen here to the live radio broadcast, and it goes, go down that middle column. I give a little introduction to the theme for the week, and then we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to add some extra little 10-minute teaching notes. What is the body of Christ? The use of church in the New Testament. Jesus and the seven churches of Revelation, seven signs of a great church, judgment begins with the house of God. Now we're going to do that. Let me also say this week that Richard Keltner from Watchman Radio has invited me to take over a show for one night, to be the guest host. And I'm going to do that Saturday night, February the 5th, starting at 10 p.m. Now, there's a link. All those blue and purple, where it says Russell Guest Host Watchman Radio, just click on it. It'll take you there. If you go Saturday night, February the 5th at 10 p.m., you can get into the chat room. You can even throw questions in. We'll see about taking calls. I'm not sure about that yet. Then also Saturday preemption broadcast. We've already put up one that dealt with Roman Catholic, the exorcism issue. And that's been downloaded in 3 days by thousands. Light Along the Way is a broadcast by my wife, Shelley Dizdar. And you click there. Ladies have been enjoying it. Listen, it is there for all. And there is now the Black Awakening Training Course, what the book is based on. That is now free to everyone. And I want to say to those SRA, MPD, DID individuals, you know who you are, chosen ones and others, counselors and others, again, understanding the copyrights so that it's free for all, never to be charged, and never to be altered. Please take all of that, make CDs, use them, pass them out, link them, put them everywhere. 24 hours. It would be like a 5-day training. And we just encourage you because we now calculate 4 generations, 100 million SRA, DID, MPD, whatever terminology, in the end of days, claiming to be or meant to be or originally created to be the troops of Antichrist. It's a vital issue. The book is out, Black Awakening, and it is going to be eventually put into hardback, large print, kindled, and then hopefully in the language, German language, Russian language. But right now it's still out there. We encourage you. It does deal with the overall theme, conspiracy in the world, New World Order issues. It deals with the Nazis. It deals with MKUltra. It deals with the mind control projects. It deals with the back breeding of the Aryan, the pure blood, the issue of Nephilim hybrid. It deals with how they're creating satanic chosen ones. It deals with what the church should do in response and clearly, definitively, issues and core issues of the end of days. We hope you'll get a copy. You'll see the book's cover on the left-hand side towards the top. I want to also say absolutely free is the Book of Acts Field Manual for the End of Days. I just put up a 70-minute introduction, and then we're going to have probably a total of maybe 50 hours, and it might take 4 or 5 months to complete, but it's meant to be a training course. I'm inviting you to, maybe I should put a registry up and have you register and let us know. I'm inviting you to jump into a course wherever you are. Doesn't matter in China, Russia, Europe, America, Canada, wherever you are, as you delve into the Book of Acts, and we're going to ask you to read it at least 30 times in the next number of months, we're going to give you verse-by-verse training, equipping, with leading you through appropriation of the authority of Christ, the fullness of the Spirit of God, how to do soul winning, how to do and be powerful in prayer. So many things as we take you through the Book of Acts. We have listed on the introduction the 18 signs of a real Christian, a real believer, a real disciple of Christ. And I'll keep pointing to that, but it's going to involve homework and you receiving from the Lord and becoming. And eventually, my goal in all of this is believers worldwide that are listening. And we're grateful for this tool right now. Over 2 million downloads of MP3s and teachings like this occurred last year. I have no idea how it'll go this year, but in this course, Because if you're a believer, Christ is right there with you. The Spirit of God is there to develop you. I just simply want to be the pastoral equipper, the equipper in evangelism and in the clear biblical power, Holy Spirit-guided evangelism we see in the book of Acts. The greatest mission in human history. It's going on now. It is being fought against. That's why we're bringing out, based on biblical revelation, the counterfeit and the contrast and the ramping up of the dark side. Has nothing to do, though, with the full presence, full power and grace and might and will and passion of God. If you want to be a part of the greatest mission in human history, be a part of the Great Commission. Book of Acts opened up for all. Now, you'll notice also there are archives, upcoming broadcasts. By the way, next week, the series may be concerning drugs, the spirit molecule, and drug lords in South America and Mexico, and the demon gods connected, and Future Prophecy Pharmacon. That's next week on the live radio show you're listening to right now. Begins Monday night. Let me say concerning the live radio project. In the past, for about a year, it was completely taken care of. God opened the doors. Anyone understands what we're all about? We don't use commercials, and we don't use products, and we don't have those kind of things to gain the ability to do what we do. If you want to support, if you believe in this work, if you believe it's beneficial, and you want it to be beneficial to others, then I encourage you to look at the support tab on shatterthedarkness.net. That's all I'll say about that. When it comes to the live radio that you're listening to now, if you're listening live, there's only one way to do this with the satellite internet, Global Star Communications. We're looking for some to stand in and say, we want to specifically cover all the radio costs. And for those, and I'm only talking to believers that want that to occur, well, email us and let us know. We deeply appreciate those who have done that in a miraculous, miraculous way. Enough said, conference is coming, a Supernatural Explanations event, CSEE. Going to be there in Groton, Connecticut, New England area, 25th, 26th, 27th of March. On the website, there's registry up, there is a PDF flyer, there's downloads you can get. Also then, April the 1st and 2nd, Politics of Religion, Fort Wayne, Indiana, webpage where you can, and people have already signed up. Love to see many of you that are listening. We always have a great time. And if we're going to do baptisms, please let us know ahead of time, because we want to make sure people are saved, born of the Spirit of God, and then baptized. Anyway, that's enough explanation on the website. I just want you to know that the new newsletter is out, and that's at the top left-hand side of the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Again, thank you, and blessings to all, and thank you for the emails, thank you for the Facebook notes, and for the mail that I got today. I want to say again, we are extremely, with deep gratitude, for the friends that God has sent to us our way. The friendship is great. The fellowship is great. And your help and blessing is, and more than anything too, intercessory spirit-guided prayers for us. Now, let's get into the rest of this session tonight with over 30 minutes left. This week in dealing with Roman Catholicism and the exorcism, we've already gone over the issues, and I want to touch on this specific one. What is pure spiritually given by God? What did Jesus say and do? What did the early apostles say and do? What did the second generation believers say and do? The only place you'll find that clear, systematic, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts, a 30-year history of the early church. You're going to see what Jesus spoke, how he did ministry. As a matter of fact, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus, by his sheer presence, forced the manifestation of demonic presence by his sheer word without touching them, commanding the demons out of human lives. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the most famous of all of the Gospel episodes, Jesus commands the demonic to give their name. Well, legion, for we are many. There was an interaction, real entities, real presence. There's a human being, naked, cutting, howling, crying out. Other humans could not contain him, could not help him. There was nothing that could help him. And so they just wanted to chain him and bind him. And he broke those because of the supernatural enhancement, strength. He would break the chains. But when God in human flesh, when Emmanuel, when the Son of God walked up on the shore, that spiritual presence in that possessed man, well, clearly identified. Let me say to all listening, 2012ers, New Agers, occultists, and others, the demons, they don't care about Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan. They know who Moloch and Baal. They know that Buddha was a man. Muhammad was a man. They don't care about any of that. They do fear Jesus Christ. They know that this is God in human flesh. They know this is the Son of God. When he approaches, when he was here, they were outed instantly, crying out, fearing the coming judgment, because there's a day set. Let all the Satanists and Luciferians know, all the undergrounders and those that monitor and recon this show, that no matter where they are and what they do, the demonic world knows collectively that an ultimate day of judgment and a final end to their operative presence in the life of humans and in this world. They know this very well, and that's the reason for the end time ramping up. Revelation 12 says the devil knows, that side knows their time is short. They're furious. And ultimately, it's about their agenda. You can check it out, Revelation 19. Armageddon is about trying to stop the return of God in Christ, stop the return of Christ, kill God. Let me ask you where you're at in all that. If you're someone that's a Satanist, a Luciferian, you can go ahead and ask. And may the Lord Jesus demonstrate in a power encounter right now, your demons know that he is real. Yesu Christu, this is Yahweh Adonai, this is the Lord Jesus. They know who he is, even if atheists, agnostics, and God-haters don't. The demons do. The angels of God know who Jesus is, and they worship him as God. Now, having said all of that, there is the revelation of God. Going back to Genesis, God gave a verse, a word of God to Adam and Eve. That was to preserve. Believing it, holding on to it, would have preserved the entire human race. Death would have never entered in. Sin would have never entered in. And all of the blood and guts tragedy, including hell itself, would have had nothing to do with the human race. Listen to me carefully. You're the sinner. I am the sinner. We are the ones that have done this. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whoever you are, whether Muslim, whether Buddhist, whether Hindu, New Ager, whether you joined a church and you got religious tradition, God says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God says in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Do you know who he is? Did you know that this is God, Emmanuel, coming in human flesh? Never sinned. All of creation listened to him and obeyed his command. All of creation was subservient. All of creation knew. Sin was conquered by Jesus. Jesus had authority over sin, over death, over Satan, over disease, over all of creation. You read the Gospel of John in the beginning. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, always has been, always will be. That Word became flesh, dwelt for a while among us. Now, in that chapter, he is creator of all that is, and that creation, my dear friends, knows him, knows that redemption, even of the environment, created order, Romans 8, a new heaven and a new earth is coming, and creation knows it. What about you? What is the traditions of men? What are those traditions that crop up and replace pure, Spirit of God-given revelation, the simplicity of God saying who he is, of God saying what we have done, of God saying that he loves us? I mean, how clear can you get? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Read the next verse, John 3:17. God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. If you're listening to this right now, whenever you are, whether live now or later, even if it's a year later, even if you think you found it by accident, it's been prayed over. I believe the hand of God is on it for use. God has come to save you. If you are not saved, if you don't know what that means, then let me tell you something. If you don't know what being saved means, it may mean you are clearly not saved. Those who are saved know they are saved. It means you've been totally forgiven. It means the living Christ has come into your life and given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It means that you've been born again in the Spirit of God and have a new nature inside. It means that Satan's rights have been pulled off. The sin nature has been rendered powerless. That God has given you his indwelling power and presence for living. And the gift of eternal life has been placed in you. And the Spirit of Christ in you bears witness with your spirit that you really are saved, born again, a child of God, and you know God. If you're saved, you know God. If you're saved, you know you're forgiven. If you're saved, you know he dwells in you. If you're saved, you know you have the Spirit of God in you. If you're saved, you know you have the gift of eternal life. If you're saved, you know that if you die, you instantly go before the Lord. If you're saved, you know that glorification, the gift of indestructible immortality, is coming. And so much more. So I want to ask you right now if you know that you're saved. That word's used all through the New Testament. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. There is no other name, it says in the book of Acts, under heaven, given among humankind, mankind, whereby we must be saved. The name Jesus Christ. You can go to Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You go ahead and read Romans 10, see how clear it is. You go ahead and read the Gospel of John and see how clear it is. I am telling you God is knowable, that God wills to know you and for you to know him in personal, intimate, and eternal relationship. That it's not about tradition and religious ceremony and alternative demon masqueraded spirituality. New Ager, come out of it. 2012er, come out of it. Occultist, come out of it. Living by religious ceremony, come out of it. God summons you to direct personal fellowship, salvation, being saved, Christ coming into your life. Oh, Jesus stands at the door right now, knocking at the door of your life. The Spirit of God calls you to summon you Open your heart wide. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your life. Receive him. And the Spirit of God will come in. Christ will come in. And all that I've said so far. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you now. As you're listening, you can stop right now, tears in your eyes, and simply cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want any more religious ceremony. I don't want any more tradition. I don't want any more goofy, strange, deceiving spirits of the new age. I don't want to be deceived. I want you. I want God. I want Christ. Atheist, agnostic, are you going to live empty? Are you going to live angry all of your life? Are you going to die in that sin? Stop it and come to the living Christ. On that cross, he died for you. He's called the sin bearer of the world. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world when you receive him. John's Gospel, chapter 1, he came to that which is his own, but they didn't receive, they didn't recognize, they didn't take him in. And if you reject him, and if you thrust him off, and if you believe the lie, your sin is on your own head. You will be separated from God forever. You will go to hell. That's no question about it. Because you're sin. You're dead to God. You've already have that going on. If you die right now, do you go to heaven or hell? And why? Baptism can't save you. The church can't save you. Mary can't save you. Purgatory can't save you. Give you a second chance. What can save you? You ever read the old hymn? You ever sing the old hymn, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Check it out. Look it up on the web. Sing it. Listen to it. Let God's presence envelop you. If you are lost, I come for one thing, to tell you that you can know God right now. I pray that you will get saved right now. This week, though it involves bringing exposure to traditions of men that have completely marred the simplicity of faith in Christ and salvation. Listen, I know Catholic traditional doctrine, but I also know the Word of God. I also know that years and years and years I've engaged nominal Catholics, practicing Catholics, and I've always done this because this is where it comes down to it. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Does he dwell in your heart? Does the spirit of adoption of God live in you? Rome, you read it. It's not my words. It's the authority of the Word of God. And Jesus claims the authority of the Word of God overrides all men, priests, popes, theologians, whoever, pastors, deacons, and elders. It is supreme. It is the Word of God. It's intended to be known. And the truth is, those who love God, those who want God, those who want to yield to God, well, they get to know and they grow in and learn the Word of God. It's not that hard when you're open, wide, and yielded. When you're contrary to, it's so easy to say, well, there's many interpretations. Every time I hear that, I hear it from somebody who either doesn't know God or a backslidden individual who's wanting to live in their own sin. How stupid is that? For a real believer to neglect so great a salvation, so great a pure blood, don't you hear the words of John the Baptist? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You're going to live half-baked? You're going to live backslidden? Give me a break. Spirit of God is grieved. Spirit of God is quenched. Your life and what it could have been, should been, all that's left is the judgment seat of Christ. It begins at the house of God. Hypocrites not only are miserable, bitter and angry people usually, always giving excuses, but they also turn others away from God. So how is it with you? You ever read the Gospel of Mark? Listen, if you're involved and you say, well, the church has saved me, a baptism saved me, Mary's a savior, taking communion, it's all a lie. I'm saying it straight out. It's all a lie. It's not found. Look at the Gospels. Read the New Testament again and again and again and again. Mary will never say it. Jesus will never say it about Mary. The Word of God will never say that Mary is a co-redemptress, that Mary will save you. It never tells you to pray to her. There's no reason to do so. She prayed to Jesus. She knows Jesus. She was the virgin that was impregnated and carried the Son of God. And there is praise for her and her obedience and her yieldedness for eternity, my friends. But she's not a savior. She would tell you that herself. And when she is placed up as a saving element, or communion is, or anything else, what we're doing is giving the dark side spirits opportunity to use the traditions of men. What are they? Well, individuals coming up with alternative religious structure, teaching, doctrine. It is usually three things. Hear me out now when I say the traditions of men. They can be, and it is deeply embedded in the Catholic system. It's found in Lutheranism. It's found in the Episcopal. It's found in the Anglican. It can be found in any local church, in any denomination. And it's always going to be the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, by use of the Word of God, that will bring purity to your own life, which is the high road, which is where you want to be, and purity to the structure of local churches and connected churches. It is what brings purity and cleansing to the doctrines that we say are the doctrines of God, the teachings of God. When it comes to the traditions of men, I want to tell you three things. Wherever you look at it at, whatever denomination. Number one, in almost in every case, has been made as a substitute for the real thing. The traditions of men turn out to be a substitute for what is real. The issue, too, is that the substitute, since it's not the Word of God, not given by the Spirit of God, will not be blessed by the Spirit of God, will not be used by God, becomes an obstacle to God, to the Spirit of God. And it opposes the simple, pure, consistent, real revelation of God. Number two, traditions of men are made by those who don't know God. Now, you can do a study of this if you want to. Let me tell you where you can find this also. Let me read you Mark 7:4, where it talks about how they've come from the marketplace. They do not eat unless they wash and observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles, wiping them down and doing all this religious stuff that is supposed to have some kind of religious meaning or draw you close to God. Is a chalice going to do that? Is a robe going to do that? Is a haircut going to do that? And don't think wearing a tie makes you more godly. Even that can become just as anti-biblical as any other traditions of men. Traditions of men are those teachings, principles that get set into lives, churches, and structures that are not of God, that can be exposed by the sheer, pure, systematic, biblical teachings. Let me say Mark 7:8 when it comes to the traditions of men. Jesus says, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." He's talking about people wearing robes, using scriptures, doing all kinds of ceremonial things, observing so many rules and regulations. And if you study John's Gospel chapter 5, 6, and 7, you're going to find out these who give the traditions of men, live by the traditions of men, they don't even know God. They don't even know God. They don't know God and only keep adding tradition of men to tradition of men to make things more religious, seemingly, more mystical, spiritually, seemingly, but in the end, holding a pot in your hand, wearing a robe, reciting things, walking in a certain way, observing a specific time, believing in things that are not in Scripture. Communion never saves anyone. Baptism never saves anyone. It was only the saved that got baptized in the book of Acts. 30-year history, the apostles, the second-generation disciples, that's the only way they did it. No child got baptized in the book of Acts. A 30-year history. The beginning of that 30-year and the majority of that 30-year, all of those who walk with Jesus, knew Jesus, are the ones giving the instruction he gave, living out what he spoke, what he taught, what he exampled, and what he commanded them to do. And they didn't baptize babies. They didn't say the church saves you. They didn't say alternative spiritual presence, other gods and goddesses are the same and will save you. No, you read it yourself again and again. You're reading the high, supernatural, superior authority of God that supersedes all the traditions of men. Number one, traditions of men, it's always intended to be a substitute for the real. Reason why, number two, those making the traditions of men and the doctrines of men, they don't even know God. They don't even know him. Now, again, you can study this out in the New Testament. Mark 7, 9, Jesus saying to those religious individuals, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your traditions. What are you doing with the Word of God? Do you live by traditions of men that are not in the Word of God that actually cause you to set aside the Word of God? Or do you live by the Word of God? Born again, people who are saved, people who know Jesus, really know him, the Spirit of God guides them to live by the Word of God. As Jesus said, as the apostles taught, as the Word of God teaches. By knowing Christ and knowing his word and obeying his word and putting more and more and more of it into you and more of it into practice, it will help purify and cause you to put off and throw off all the traditions of men. They are a substitute for the real. They've been given and handed down by those who don't even know God personally. Number three, those traditions cannot lead anyone to God. Just like New Age spirits, just like occult-oriented books, just like 2012 prophecies, traditions can make a person feel religious, make a person feel mystical, make a person feel that God's around somewhere. I mean, hold a crucifix in your hand and it does give you a picture. Hey, that's a symbol or a picture of Jesus dying on the cross. You know, every time I see one, it reminds me, but it doesn't save you. Seeing just simply a cross with a Savior that is suffering and dying on it, it paints the picture of what occurred, but the simplicity and purity is found in the Word of God. Looking at a cross, looking at a stained glass window, looking at a statue, cannot, will not save you. And if you stand there looking too long, you may embrace traditions of men and want to get more and more and more of those traditions of men and want to observe more and more and more of those traditions of men because you're not satisfied, because you're still missing something. Can I ask you if you're missing the Spirit of God? Can I ask you if you're missing Jesus inside of you? Some of you who are nominal Catholics, some of you are Roman Catholics and practicing, even priests, I simply want you to know the living Christ. God wants you to know his Son, the Savior, inside of you in personal, joyful relationship. Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. I don't care if you wear 9 robes. I don't care if you say 100 billion Hail Marys. I don't care if you cut your hair a certain way, wear a tie a certain way, put a bumper sticker on your car, hold 10 crucifixes, put up 5 pictures, so-called pictures of Jesus. None of that will save you. Hanging on to it may cause you to lose your soul. Hanging on to the traditions of men and not being willing to go to Jesus himself, to the Word of God, to the teaching of the Word of God. Well, the Word of God calls you out of tradition. You can read about it all through the Gospels where Jesus had to deal with religious tradition. Made as a substitute, made by those who don't know God and made by those who can't lead you to God. They can only pile upon you more religious stuff and practices. Have you ever read in the book of Ephesians? There in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, I just want to read this to you. In referring to Christ, here's what it says. In him, in Christ, you have also trusted. That is, you've believed, you've received. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. After hearing the gospel, maybe like right now. After hearing the good news that Jesus loves you, died for you, rose from the dead, ascended, he's coming back, provided salvation. After hearing that, you receive Christ, you receive the gift of salvation. Here's what it says, in whom? Notice, salvation is about a relationship. It's about a relationship. If you don't know Christ, you're not saved. If you don't have the living Christ dwelling in you, you're not saved. Verse 13, book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In Christ, you also trusted or believed after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel. That's the word of God, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, in Christ, also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Upon believing on the name of the Lord Jesus and receiving him, the gift of the Spirit of God comes in and you are born again. Verse 14, referring to the Holy Spirit in you as a saved believer, well, he is the guarantee of our inheritance of what's to come, of the coming glorification. Have you read that? Have you read Ephesians chapter 2? Listen to these words of God, verse 8 on down. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Have you read that? Did you read a little bit further down, verse 18? For through him, through Christ, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. When Christ comes into your life and you are born again of the Spirit of God, you know God. You are in fellowship with God. You can cry out in intimate, the most, no higher way of doing it, most intimate way, Abba, Father. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? Do you know it by the Word of God? You can study the Gospel of John chapter 1. You can study Titus chapter 3, and I urge you to study John's Gospel chapter 8. I am saying that no matter who you are and where you are, if you are bound up by the traditions of men, you got to drop them. You got to throw them out. Whatever is not of the Word of God, throw it away. Receive the living Christ. Live by the Word of God as Jesus taught, as the apostles taught, as the Word of God teaches. Well, I've run out of time. On this Friday night, the 4th of February, 2011, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We love you. There are some studies in the book that we have in our website, How to Know That You're Saved. Dynamic Discipleship. Get it. Take a listen. Remember us in prayer. We love you tonight. Good night.